celebration we'll have today.
Thank goodness.
Let's have a celebration that brings away.
Thank goodness.
Finally a day that's totally wicked witch-free. We
couldn't be happier.
Couldn't be happier, right, dear? Couldn't be happier. Right here, look what we've got, a fairy tale plot, our very own happy ending. Where we couldn't be happier, true, dear? Couldn't be happier. And we're happy to share our ending vicariously with all of you. Couldn't feel humbler. We couldn't be happier, because happy is what happens when all your dreams come true.
Insert cliche here, gentle audience. Insert cliche here. I am hungover on pumpkin pie, gentle audience, after the celebration in Grand Park, where I was about 200 feet away from the president-elect and his bulletproof glass, which was really weird. And all the stages and multi-levels of cameras and... You know, I finally figured out what it was like. I thought, this is just so familiar. I realized it was just like the end, that not end, but the big climax scene. It was the end, but it was so long it's hard to call it the end. Of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where there's all this shit there. There's, you know, in that giant stadium and then the aliens land. It was exactly like that in that movie. It was just exactly like that. There were, even with the multi-level and the cameras and the lights and just everything pointing at this stage, which was really pretty small. You know, the amazing thing, TV is such an illusion, and those giant, whatever you call those shots that are from above, they look so huge. It looks, makes the crowd look so huge, and it was. But you see, the thing is, everything's miniature, so the stage is so miniature that when you see the stage, it looks like, you know, your brain kind of assumes that it's kind of huge, but it's not, it's small. So in relation to that, you know, when you think how huge the stage is, you see the crowd, you think the crowd is not huge. Now, the crowd was huge, 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 you know, whatever, 500,000, a million people, I don't know. But that part of the crowd that was in that little tiny area, that where you see that stage and that surrounding area, was just a small, small area, really. And anyway, and so it was really an illusion, but still it was. You know, and then when you bounce the light off all these people's heads and there was so much light, it really sort of makes it look more populated than it is, I think. But it was. It's just that most of the crowd wasn't even in camera's view, as far as I know, because the crowd just expanded way, way down Grant Park for, I think, at least a mile or two. It was unbelievable. So if you go to flickr.com/yeastradio, you can see some of my pictures. I'll post some of the video on Insane Films, but there's way too much to post. But I think the clip I'm going to post first is where Wolf Blitzturd announces that Barack Obama won, and then the crowd just explodes in such a way that I've never seen. And such a... It was as if everybody just was blown off their feet by a giant gust of Marilyn Monroe, you know, subway filters, energy, and just... It was amazing. I don't know what to say. It was fucking amazing. But, you know, I don't want to just get caught up in the moment. And I know that some of my more cynical friends will, you know, probably thinking, well, this is, you know, a lot of just blah. You know what I mean? Blah. I don't know what the word is. And to some extent, that's true. But, you know, I really wanted to, before I forget, and I can't talk long because I have a doctor's appointment, which means I probably will. Not really. Trotsky's here on my lap. Oh, and I ate a pumpkin pie. So Terry of Personal Pack, had a get together because he watches the state races because he does pro-choice, mainly focuses on the state. After all, state is abortion is mainly state controlled. So he was watching some of the races. So I went over to his place after the event was totally over and ate an entire pumpkin pie. So I'm hungover from eating an entire pumpkin pie. I just shed half it out. And I'm so glad I got to play that fucking song. I mean, I know it's cheesy, but remember, like, several weeks ago, I said, create a visualization, picture this. But, you know, this is such a victory, and I really want to try and get into what it is that I think is amazing about it. First of all, 4 years ago, the day before Election Day, 4 years ago, I met the guy. He walked into the Starbucks. I've told this story 1,000 times, but it's the coolest story, and since I don't have kids, I don't have anyone else to tell it to but you. I was in the Starbucks and he just, forgot to put the bypass on. Or is it supposed, no, there. Is that better? Oh, who cares? Anyway, this is the bypass is off. I've been keeping it on. Tell me which sounds better. This is the bypass off that I've been talking to you thus far. This is the bypass on now. I know, ouch, fuck me. I'll leave it off. Who cares? All right. So I don't have to be as close. And then when I do, who cares? Fuck you. I don't know. Sideways, mostly. I don't know. When they first announced he was... Well, first of all, there's something I've never seen before, which is, you know, there's, of course, there was Secret Service, armed guards, like SWAT teams everywhere. There were these turrets right above where we were, because I was right next to this loudspeaker, which is why I'm 3/4 deaf today. And I sort of in the same area, because I was right next to that whole staging area, you know, the stage itself, but, you know, more the behind the stage thing. There's this black curtain. And then there are these big towers, I'd say 3 or 4 stories high. And then, you know, it's really hard to see, but there are these armed guards in there with their bulletproof vests. And they're snipers is what they are. They're these fucking snipers with guns pointed like right, I thought right at me, you know. I was like, well, these people could fucking shoot me in a heartbeat. It was weird, you know, and helicopters going above. And, ooh, just like, I mean, weird. I don't know, like a weird combination of martial law and expression of democracy, which somehow didn't seem to contradict each other, which I can't really explain. But so, you know, after all this thus and so, the counting of the ballots was so fast. It was just so fast that it just, and you know, I'm standing there, and then I had to find Justin, who had to sneak in by bribing a guard, which is another story, shows how good security is. But anyway, because my ticket was only for one. We finally met up, you know, and I was not going to move from my position where I was actually able to see the podium. Most people were looking at this giant screen, and I was much, you know, sitting, and I would much rather be able to have to stand the whole time on my tippy toes to view the actual, you know, stage and people on it than see some fucking TV that I can watch at home. And they had CNN blasting notes there. Anyway, that, who cares? So after they said, Wolf Blitz Turd says, President Barack Obama has been elected President of the United States, the next one. And the crowd just exploded. And there's no good cliche for that. It just went, bah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was just amazing. So no adjectives there. Bad memory, you know what I mean. That whole thing. And so, but the first image that popped in my head is I pictured like this sort of, I can't, it's hard for me to explain why this doesn't not make sense, but I pictured the image of sort of a Barack Obama on a coin, on a, like, instead of whoever it is on the penny. Is it Lincoln on the penny? I don't fucking know. It's hard to explain because I don't mean to imply that he'll be on a coin. I don't mean to imply that he's like Lincoln. It's none of that. It's just that's the image that popped into my head. And what that image meant in my mind is this is the new face of our country, at least for now. And yes, I am skeptical. And now that he's won, I can go back and talk about the real shit that really bothered me during the campaign that I kept to myself. Because as I promised, my goal for these 2 months was to help get him elected and put aside all the things I disagree with and go middle of the road while that's over so I can be left again. But first, I got a honeymoon, bitch. But anyway, And by the way, one of those things is, I think, if, I don't know if Proposition 8 died, I believe Proposition 8 won. And I really feel that the Obama-Biden campaign is directly, at least partially responsible for that, because when Biden said, when he basically threw us down the river when he said, we don't support gay marriage, you know, that was saying, okay, Proposition 8 can get fucked. And yeah, a few days before the election, he said, well, I would vote for Proposition 8. Well, that's contradictory bullshit. So, you know, I was really pissed about that. You know, and in another mind space a few years ago, it would have made me change my mind, not support them, but I couldn't. I didn't. I don't think I even mentioned it because the big picture is too big. And I think most of you would agree. You know, and the fact that we can have a black president, well, that just means it's just eventually we can have a gay president or maybe even a fucking Jewish president. And talk about reparations, you know. Here we, you know, you want to make a reparation for slavery, right? You want to make a reparation for slavery and prove that you mean it. You're sorry, America. You being America, there's no real you. Well, electing a black president, that's a real reparation. You know, that's an apology with an action attached to it that says, we are done with that. We are done being discriminatory. We are no longer racist as a nation. As a nation, as a single entity, obviously we are, as individuals, a lot of us. But as a nation, we have repaired our racism. And I thought, you know what would be great is if Germany elected a Jewish chancellor. You know, this is real great. And so anyway, so I pictured, what was that, a click? What's going on with my equipment? A fucking pop? And so, but what I pictured and what I mean by this image of Obama on the coin, it's that it was like, wow, we have this good guy. I mean, it is in a way racial in a bizarre way because Obama as representing our state, that's what my image in the mind of the coin is, you know, as us, America is no longer this crotchety, alcoholic, spoiled white man. You know, when people, I'm talking about the image that America in the brain, spoiled white man, fat people. We have a skinny black man who is smart, who is self-made and made it all the way to the fucking top. And now he's president. And a black first lady and two black children and a white vice president with a white wife and wife kids together. And the black man's the boss. You know, I don't care how racial that sounds. It is. But you know what? It's a good kind of racial. It's a good kind. Because racism is a human construct. It's just stupid. But it's also there. And unless everybody realizes it, it's just a sort of construct based on the way we perceive color in our brain, basically. And, you know, certain facial features as belonging to one race or another is just completely ridiculous. But the fact that, you know, it's there and it's real, so it makes no sense to ignore it completely as an observer and a social critic. But so to have that face, and I ran into Usama Al-Shaibi, you know, my friend who's a filmmaker anyway, and he's also a producer of one of the public radio stations here, Chicago Public Radio in Chicago. And he said, you know, this is great because we were talking about the Middle East. And he said, you know, this is great because his father was a Muslim. He's going to get respect from the Muslim world. He's going to get respect from Jews because he says he's pro-Israel. You know, and who knows what he's really going to do? Hopefully, I think he'll go, you know, urge Israel to go to the 67 borders and finally have some fucking peace there. But, you know, we have this totally different face for America now. And it's just the opposite. It's instead of the gluttonous, you know, self-indulgent, silver spoon in the mouth, alcoholic pig. It's the complete opposite. The first black editor of the Harvard Law Review, somebody who really wanted the job so bad that I met him at a Starbucks the night before the 2004 election. I will tell you that till I fucking breathe my last breath because it's so amazing. And I worked my ass off to get that ticket. And thank you to Dr. Dan Berger from North Star, by the way, and Justin from the Entitled Show with me for getting that fucking ticket. It was really like getting the fucking golden ticket in Willy Wonka, no joke. Everyone in his doctor's office where he works was just like, you have a ticket. And they were all just amazed that he got a ticket. And then I came in and got it. And Wow. And so, but I wanted to talk about one other thing. It's about being wrong. And I think one thing this also proved is that people just sometimes, everything you think can just be turned completely upside down. And not in a judgmental way, but people can be wrong in so many different ways. You know, the fact, for example, all these assumptions that were going around on all different sides, and this is not a partisan thing. I'm just giving examples. I mean, like, for example, you know, that America is too racist to vote for a black president. I bought into this too. I thought, you know, it's got to be fake. I just, in deep, you know, I really just, part of me, I don't know how deep down, I don't know how realistic. I mean, logically, I knew Obama was going to win. But non-logically, I thought, kept thinking, how could all these people not be racist? How could an entire state like Ohio or Pennsylvania really vote, or even Indiana, which I think went for Obama, and I have so many friends and relatives who campaigned there, which really goes to show this is what it's really about, is the people that worked, the grassroots level, to get him in there. You know, that was sort of a mistake in the minds of many, including myself, that he couldn't win because of that. Another mistake, and I want to get to this, the grassroots thing. Let me write that down. Grassroots. Okay. But so we had my vagina itching. So where was I? Yeah, so another thing that was wrong. So, and then all the stuff like Brad Blog, these other things on Democracy Now!, yeah, why is the Democratic Party ignoring all this election fraud that's happening, all these mistakes, blah, blah, blah. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. Am I recording? Yeah. It's going to happen again, blah, blah, blah. The sky is falling with the election result. And what happened? It didn't make a goddamn difference. Sure, there were election mistakes. The machines are fallible. But maybe, just maybe, maybe all elections are inherently flawed. And you can have mistakes counting and writing and filling in the ballot no matter what. And as a result, maybe the elections just can't be close. Maybe that just doesn't work that way. Maybe in a close election, you're going to have corruption. But maybe when it's like this one was, maybe in order to win an election, you have to win it by a lot, like Obama did. Maybe all that shit really wasn't as important as we thought it was. And I'm just saying maybe. So you can debate that topic, I don't know, preferably on somebody else's blog or show. But, you know, and maybe too, maybe like it's not so bad that he's going middle of the road. Maybe that's what you have to do to run a country that's 300 million people in order to get elected. Maybe our country's too big. And that's why we can't get somebody who's, you know, appropriately left, in my opinion. And honestly, all I want is a fucking healthcare system. I don't know if he's going to do it. I'm sure he'll be disappointing in a lot of ways. They all are. But I hope we get a healthcare system. But who knows? I mean, maybe as Reagan was to the conservatives, he'll be to the liberals, and maybe he'll really deliver. And we got all three houses, as I understand it. Michael Moore said there's a bill on the floor of the House for real universal health care. And even though Obama is not pro universal health care or single payer system, yeah, Moore was making the point, well, if a bill came to his desk for universal healthcare, single-payer system, Obama sure as hell isn't going to veto it. And, you know, but the biggest thing, and I hate to be so superficial, but it's really not, is the fact that he is this new face for America. And the other thing is just think what it's doing for black and other inner city youth, and white inner city youth for that matter, the so-called disenfranchised people that feel like they have no future. You know, I've been thinking about this for a long time. The crime, you know, how has there ever been really a way to do crime? How, you know, a big question in the minds of people that work with youth and educators has been, how can we get kids to go to playgrounds and be constructive and do good things instead of, you know, join gangs and do nasty things in these bad neighborhoods when they think they have no future and all they can do is sell drugs? Well, I mean, what better concrete thing to look up to than this, than Barack's ascension to the presidency? I mean, maybe this can really change that. I just think it's amazing. I mean, these black kids are going to say, look, the first family is black. The first lady who is sleeping in the same room where this old bitch used to sleep, this racist took her. Now, I don't know if I mean, they're probably not really racist, but I think, you know, they're of that, and it's not fair to call Bush and the Bushes racist. I don't think so. I mean, they certainly acted in a way that could be racist, but also could be classist when it comes to Katrina. I think it's probably more classist and just bigoted towards the rich poor thing. Anyway, whatever, the racist or not, but just the idea, you know, that look, this white, exclusively white, it's basically like a fucking white bathroom being desegregated. This is, you know, we had a water fountain with Miss Jane Pittman. We had a bus with Rosa Parks. This is the fucking White House and the same thing. The scale of this is huge. You know, I mean, and gosh, I don't know what the repercussions are going to be for those racists out there. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if there'll be violence or something. I just don't know. But in the end, for these kids out there, it's such a huge victory, and it's amazing, you know, on a purely symbolic level. And then, you know, in these other countries that can look at us, and we don't have to be embarrassed. I mean, I don't have to go to Europe and say I'm Canadian anymore. You know, we've redeemed ourselves, and it's amazing. As a country, we've redeemed ourselves by ridding ourselves of these old fucks. And it was so nice to see, by the way, on that giant screen, to see Sarah Palin tearing up because she lost. And I just literally laughed my ass off. I couldn't stop laughing. I was so happy. You know, just go away, you wicked old witch. Go away, you wicked people. It's time. It trickled down. Economics failed. And by the way, 4 years ago, yesterday, I did my concession speech, which was really the manifesto for this program. This newer version of it. And I was so disappointed. And it's like everything is the opposite. Look for cunt session speech on either Insane Films or Yeast Radio. I don't know where it is. But all that disappointment, all that hope that I completely lost is back. And that's where, you know, talk about being wrong. That's where I was wrong. You know, that it's incurable, impossible. Though I've wavered, and those who've listened to this show know I waver, and I'm willing to waver, and I go back and forth all the fucking time. But I do have hope, and it's, you know, even, you know, it's not so much for specific things, but it's so symbolic. And sometimes, and you know, I'm a big believer in symbolism and mythology, and I just love it. And it's so meaningful because it really connects us to the life that we can't see, you know, that subconscious life, the real life that our brains aren't able to perceive. That's what symbols do. And this is so symbolic. And I just think it's a quantum leap. I really do. I think it's a quantum leap for humanity, and not because, oh, it's America so big, but yeah, but kind of, yeah. Because America, you know, with America, unfortunately, being as powerful as we are and think we are with all these fucking weapons and the dollar being the main currency for the world, it means a fucking hell of a lot. Let's see what the stock market's doing, by the way. Oh my God, it's down. Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong about that too. Let's see. Okay. I was just reading from Andy Vera. She's saying she can do Eat This Hot Show tomorrow. Anyway, whatever. So, because I kind of postponed it today because I have a doctor's appointment at 1, but that doesn't matter. But the last thing I wanted to talk about is this grassroots, you know, I don't remember Obama's speech. I thought it was kind of boring, actually, you know, and his grandma died, I guess that's why, and maybe it's just my opinion, plus I was standing on my fucking feet with a camera up in the air like a fucking yoga pose. But it's just, there are so many people that are so responsible for this victory in so many different ways, and I really feel like, well, I certainly feel like this technology, the podcasting, helped a lot. I feel like you people helped a lot in this audience. I feel like the other podcasters helped a lot. I think people like Wanda Wisdom helped a lot by coming up with the idea to put the Q-Potter thing that we did, the Q-Potter vote thing. I think even Auntie Vera, who has proved an example of somebody who can change their mind and become, go from a non-voter to a voter, really inspired a lot of people. They said so. They wrote me. And, you know, and the people in the audience that did stuff and motivated and got inspired and inspired other people and went to Indiana or wherever and caucused or whatever, canvas. And people like Lady Bunny and people like, what's her face, Rachel Maddow, of course, and Oberman and all these people, Amy Goodman, I mean, just Greg Palast and spreading things and spreading all these video bloggers, everybody just writing and Twittering with our new media. It's really working, you know? We really can, it proves that we can make a difference. And this is what I've been saying. This is what a lot of people say. And I refuse to accept the fact that a single person cannot make a difference. I mean, when I don't know if Al Franken won or the other guy, but when I watched TV from Terry's office, it was 17 votes difference between Franken and the other guy. I'm sure it's widened between, and hopefully, well, I don't know, I'm afraid to look. But so that's false. I mean, we all have things that are proven wrong when things change. And wow, isn't it just great? Isn't it? I mean, I don't know what else to say, and I don't want to just end up with the Babel, Tower of Babel coming out of my mouth. But I'm so glad, and I'm most glad that I got to play that song. And look, yeastradio.com/flickr for some of my pictures. I'll post video on Insane Films when I can. And wow, I mean, what a wonderful thing. And what a wonderful anticlimax too soon, I'm sure. But, yeah.
With this perfect finale, the cheers and the valley, who wouldn't be happier? So I couldn't be happier, because happy is what happens when all your dreams come true. Well, isn't it? Happy is what happens when your dreams come true.
We love you, Linda, and we make you so bright.
Thank goodness.
For all this joy, we know who we've got to thank. Thank goodness. That means a wizard, Linda.
And fiancé.
Thank couldn't be goodlier. She couldn't be lovelier. We couldn't be lovelier.
That's good.